your brother Mark. And usually during a devotional service, we seek to have some reason to be inspired, encouraged, strengthened. We try to have a reflection on things that, whether we do or have seen in the scriptures, it's usually a choice of the person preparing it. So I wanted to share with you some of reflections that we've had about mountains and how mountains have a significance in our life, in our personal, spiritual journey, and also how prophetically they relate to what we see around us. And perhaps we'll have some hymns too and scriptures read. But before that, I wanted to show a couple of hot-off-the-presses pictures of our young people at camp. And this was sent by Sebastian last night. Apparently, they were having their Vesper session, and our thoughts are with them as they continue to work with the young people. May their stay there be blessed by the Lord. May they grow closer to Him. May they learn more from His Word, and may they also grow closer to one another and build lifelong friendships throughout this time when the evil is still around us and we need to have a close-knit fellowship of those who we can relate to when we are going through this journey of our faith. And I wanted to name the devotional Leaping Over the Mountains. And this is based on the scripture from Songs of Solomon 2:8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. And we will perhaps go into this verse a little more, but it's not about us, even though we enjoy going into the mountains. And I know some of us have had privileges to do that either this year, both in Alaska, the nice event that Sister Leah had. Perhaps you had an opportunity to see some beautiful views. Marta and I just went for a few days recently to our favorite Canadian Rockies. And no, we cannot be leaping over the mountains, but it is a poetic expression of our Lord, about our Lord as the bridegroom. And in fact, it is a reflection on His strength, His power, His ability to leap over the mountains. And perhaps in the prophetic sense, it means that He is able to work with the kingdoms that are currently passing away. And He is, as we consider our studies, he is dealing with the various matters of this world that is vanishing away and grandly managing and establishing His own mountain. But as we've mentioned, this experience of being in the mountains in this beautiful summer season is just a thrilling opportunity if you can do it. Few things are probably more inspiring to our body and spirit than being able to find ourselves in the surroundings of the lofty mountain grandeur, breathing the clear, fresh, and cool air, and seeing the beauty of God's creation. We are for a moment immersed in this gigantic landscape and admire the power that created it. We are moved, motivated, and energized to see the same beauty in the spiritual surroundings of our hearts, minds, and souls, whether in personal, inward-looking sense, or in the sense of relating better to our co-travelers, to the fellowship of those who are with us on the journey, and those we can see from far off. And as we were singing the hymn, Prince of My Peace, we stand astonished with wonder and gaze at the ocean of God's love, and that this is a very poetic expression that makes us first imagine the vastness of His love and then also put in this picture the spirit and power of power and love that's touching us and healing us spiritually and giving us peace. So we will try to have a few connecting thoughts on that. We read in Isaiah 4, verse 12, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and measured out the heavens with a span? And who has shut up the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance?" And so we are impressed that God has so beautifully established the earth and made it so diverse with a great variety of topography, climate, and conditions. So these uneven levels of the mountains somehow call for greater effort, both on the Creator's part, probably, and those who want to visit and enjoy them. So it is kind of a challenging environment to be there, unless you kind of have a nice car and go over a paved road, but they don't always get you to those places where the most wonderful views may be. So then you have to put a backpack on and go on, prepare and plan your road and your trail. And so we are really grateful that those possibilities exist, and we have these nice opportunities to reflect as well His great wonder and beauty. And let's listen to verses 4 through 12 from Isaiah 40, which this chapter 40, as you know, starts with comfort ye my people. But now we will listen to a reading. If you ever listen to the family radio, there is this very good reader. His name is Hendrik van Dyke, who has recorded the Old Testament for them. And so we will hear a fragment read by him. And hopefully that will work well.
"Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked places shall be made level, and the rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the beauty of it as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord God shall stand forever. O you who bring good tidings to Zion, get up into the mountains. Lift up your voice with strength. O you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out the heavens with a span? And who has shut up the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?"
And as we go back to the beginning of this fragment and think about how he is going to exalt the valleys and made low mountains and hills, we see the power that God has, not in this literal sense, but to understand that the power that created this variety in the landscape, in the spiritual application, will have the power of bringing down those things that are lofty and mighty and elevating, recognizing those who've been humble and who've been low, to appreciate and recognize all that. This is a great hope for us and the perspective that we have and the prospect of the kingdom. So we are very grateful for that and appreciate it. And when we look and travel through the mountains, we do appreciate that privilege for its vastness, its perspective, the challenge that it requires the seriousness, because it is not just a joking matter to take a trip through some of the more rough environments. You have to be in a relatively good condition, and you have to appreciate that there is various dangers that you encounter. You also may be inclined to be there when you like solitude, when you like reflection, and you like just pondering the beauty of nature, and allow the voice of God through nature to speak to you, and perhaps give you some time to think and reason. And the complexity of this landscape somehow makes us really, in some cases, be so captivated by it that somehow it corresponds to the complexity sometimes in our lives. And so we, in some strange way, we experience a certain sense of rest. And someone said, oh, the mind has mountains. I think that probably reflects the rest that we experience when we can be exposed to this wonderful, you know, landscape. But it also gives glory to the might and power of our Heavenly Father. And so we will read Psalm 148, and we've asked Sister Joan to read it for us. And it's an expression of praise from all the different created things, both animate and inanimate, and an expression of praise to our Heavenly Father.
Praise. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, heavens of heavens, and waters that are above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He has also settled them forever and ever. He has made a decree which shall not pass away. Let praise be to the Lord from the earth, the sea monsters, and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and birds of the wing, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heavens. He also lifts up the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the sons of Israel, a people near to Him. Praise the Lord. Psalm 148.
Thank you, Sister Joan. I think you're recognizing the hymn that's playing in the background. We'll hear one verse. It's by this group called Selah. Very nice.
Ah.
Truly our Lord Creator is wonderful and great, not just because of this physical creation, but also how powerfully and lovingly He has created the world of mankind and all the other creations, and how they all demonstrate the relationship of collaboration, oftentimes service to one another, and complementary systems that cannot exist without one another. And when we go along the mountain trail, we have to be appreciative for those who have gone before us, those who've prepared those roads. There are some people who for many decades were involved in wanting to share the beauty that they first saw on these mountainous trails and wanted to prepare it so that's going to be a little easier for those who would follow and who could also experience this. And I think we find this also as a great analogy on our narrow way, how those who have seen the beauty of the truth of God's character before us have taken great efforts to bring them closer to us, to share them and make this access a little easier. And we are thinking of all those who have gone before us, the our Lord and the apostles and the prophets and our brethren who have shared with us and brought us into the light. So when you go on a trail, you think with gratefulness of the efforts of those. And we definitely do want to recognize and praise our Heavenly Father for all the agencies that He has enabled and provided for us to learn of Him. You want to also be quite well prepared with your equipment. You want to know what kind of risks you're going to be taking. And to do that is a great challenge as well. I typically don't do anything that's shown here on the pictures, but certainly can see how it is great to be trying to mount certain challenges and to kind of practice your courage. Oftentimes, practice how you can depend on one another, how decision-making and teamwork and sacrifice and effort, and you value another person's experience who has done this before, your character, your willpower, all these things come into play in this situation where it's a little more by your own decision that you want to take this route, you want to go in this, you want to participate in an experience like this, but very much so in the various situations that we have in our spiritual life and our walk. There's also a few funny things that may happen. For example, you can see some wildlife, which always is a thrill for a traveler. Here in this case, it was a very funny scene just on our recent trip when Marta said, "You know what? We haven't seen wildlife in a little while. I think it would be good to see one. Just how about now?" And suddenly, we see this young elk right in front of us, who actually could not have come from any other direction than through this narrow bridge. Apparently, he got a little confused. But then proceeded on. And some other exciting wildlife that actually just enjoys and only, of course, subsides on what they see right there. You've got the wonderful black bears who you really are supposed to stay far away from, but that does not happen, especially when the drivers see that there is some bears like we did over here. There's a bear jam, and of course, there's a situation like that. I think my battery has just gone down. I need to plug in my laptop. While this is rebooting or booting up, does anyone want to perhaps share anything that they have either seen recently or done in their mountain experience? And if they had any reflection along the lines of that analogy to our spiritual life. we are. Sister Rhoda, up front. Sorry.
Last summer, I had the opportunity with my parents to go to Saskatchewan, and then after Saskatchewan, we went to Banff. It's yeah. one of my father's favorite places to go into the mountains. And we just reveled in how close to God you feel and how small you feel, and you can see the manifest work of the Lord. And nobody, he didn't have to create the earth so beautifully, and yet he did. You know that the Lord must love beauty as much as we do, because the beauty of the mountains and the beauty of the oceans and just his handiwork is amazing. And it was an experience to take with my mom and dad and grandma that I'll never forget. And you know, we went even into the hot springs and things like that, which can only happen at the mountains, and we're so thankful to the Lord.
Thank you, Sister Rhoda. Yes, it's a grand experience, and in this otherwise harsh, difficult, inaccessible land, to see the beauty of our Heavenly Father's design. Here is, of course, the wild flowers that grow there, and sometimes you see them at the very top of a mountain, and you say, well, hardly anyone was supposed to get up here, except maybe for a few who would have ventured, and the Lord yet allowed for these wonderful plants to be there, just to almost say, thank you for being here, and yes, it's for you. You can appreciate it. And we can see that too, that when we study the word of our Lord, and as we get into more in-depth, more of these challenging, less accessible areas, don't we see that we are given a gift, a certain feeling of, oh, this connects with another thing that I have seen elsewhere, and now I can truly appreciate God's wisdom and his love. In Amos 4:13, we read, he who forms the mountains, creates the wind, and reveals his thoughts to man, he who turns dawn to darkness and treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. So the scriptures are full of these testimonies that speak to this the grandeur of the creation of mountains, but then also leads us to see other prophetic meanings of what mountains may mean. Or in Psalm 62, 1 through 2, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Psalms 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. All these different words that really have so much analogy to a strong footing, foundation, and just like what we see, especially in the mountains, with these great rocks that you just know are not movable. And we will sing hymn 222, To the Rock.
Thank you.
trying to start resharing my screen through Adobe, and I apologize to the brethren online, but after the battery went down, the sharing crashed. So number three is the one that is now should be the presenter. Navshinsky, number three on the list. Thank you. Speaking about being prepared for your trip and having an extra battery for your laptop, for example, but hopefully this will work now. Okay, perfect. Thank you. And as we continue thinking about mountains, we know that there are so many scriptures about Israel's mountains. We, of course, won't have time to go into much or any of them, but we realize that they're about how important hills, mountains, and topography were in the development of God's people. The patriarchs, pilgrimage of the nation of Israel, the conquest of the land. Here we are seeing some of these views. You probably will recognize these mountainous ranges, which are really to the east of the area where Israel dwells. And there are so many references to mountains, and as you look at the geography, especially this 3D map really makes a big impression on me, because it shows how the area of the nation of Israel is defended and guarded by these mountain ranges that are to the east of Jordan, to the east of Dead Sea, and that creates a natural defense, as though the design that God had for the Jewish people to dwell in this land with a lot of natural defenses. Of course, we know that oftentimes if you can get up to the mountain, then you have an advantage of the enemy, and so therefore the conflict around who, for example, would have access to the Golan Heights or to other higher areas here that would be potentially exposing the lower laying lands here closer to the shore in case of any desire to cause harm from those higher places. So therefore, it's highly important, highly strategic areas for those who'd want to defend the citizens here living on the shore. But we read, interestingly enough, just a selection of these scriptures that have to do with mountains, and they appear to be signifying something that we have grown comfortable accepting, that mountains represent kingdoms. And some comments here from, for example, about Revelation 6:12, where it says, every mountain and island were out of their places and they were shaken. 16:20, every island fled away and mountains were not found. Or Revelation 8:8, the second great angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And so these mountains that are moved, these mountains that are shaken or disappear, and mountains that are put into the sea are a picture that we are carrying from all these different quotations from the scriptures, and in fact even others. So how is it that we can believe that mountains are unmovable, that they are a rock that we should trust on, put our trust on? And we also have these personal comparisons of our faith that should be as strong as to move mountains. For example, Matthew 17:12. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there. Or in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, so again connection there, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So, very interesting. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, although I have all faith so as to be removing mountains and have not love, I am nothing. So somehow faith is connected with moving the mountains. And we read in Psalm 46:2, Wherefore we will not fear when the earth changes and when mountains are slipping into the heart of the seas. And we'll ask Sister Sue to read Psalm 46 for us, which does talk about God being our refuge and strength and present help in trouble.
God is our strong refuge. He is truly our helper in times of trouble. For this reason, we do not fear when the earth shakes and the mountains tumble into the depths of the sea, when its waves crash and foam and the mountains shake before the surging sea, Selah. The river's channels bring joy to the city of God, the special holy dwelling place of the Sovereign One. God lives within it. It cannot be moved. God rescues it at the break of dawn. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are overthrown. God gives a shout. The earth dissolves. The Lord who commands armies is on our side. The God of Jacob is our protector. Selah. Come, witness the exploits of the Lord, who brings devastation to the earth. He brings an end to wars throughout the earth. He shatters the bow and breaks the spear. He burns the shields within fire. He says, stop your striving and recognize that I am God. I will be exalted over the nations. I will be exalted over the earth. The Lord who commands armies is on our side. The God of Jacob is our protector. Selah.
Thank you, Sister Sue. And what we are learning from the psalm is that God, in whom we trust, is a present help, and he is in the midst of the church, his cause, and that cause will not be moved. And even though the nations rage and kingdoms are shaken, God is managing this, and therefore there are some mountains that will not be moved. And that mountain that will not be moved is in Psalm 125. It's a song of ascents or degrees where you really keep going higher. That was in front of the temple, but we can think about that too in our journey. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. And that is our hope, that is our trust in this Mount Zion, which is God's kingdom, his spiritual blessing that will come down, as we read in Daniel, the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That is that mountain that will become the source of blessing. And as we read in Isaiah, then, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, shall be lifted up above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall come the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So that is the hopefully the answer to the question about those mountains that move away and those that don't, that remain forever. So as we think about this beautiful scripture from Songs of Solomon, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, looking through the lattice. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come away, for behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. And perhaps it's a picture of the bridegroom coming and waking up his bride in the resurrection and saying, arise, the time, the season has come for the blessing of this world. And may we be a part of this blessing with our wonderful Savior. And that will be the hymn we will sing as in closing. And could we ask Brother Joe Migas to close with prayer? Thank you. 353, A Wonderful Savior. Words will be on the screen.
Oh, Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee at the close of this day of worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth, and also now at the close of this time of devotion, considering the lofty heights wherein Thou dwellest. We feel that we have been lifted up to the top of the mountain spiritually to be drawn closer to Thee and closer to one another, and we thank Thee for this blessing this day. We pray not only for ourselves here, but for all of Thy children the world over. We remember especially those on beds of sickness, those isolated and desirous of fellowship, those bereaved at the loss of loved ones. We pray that Thou would grant them each a blessing according to the counsel of Thy will. And we pray for the full establishment of Thy kingdom and an end to this present evil world. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.